Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Today's sermon is based on the gospel lesson from Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35. And in anger, his master delivered him to the jailers until he should pay all his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from your heart. Jesus tells of a man who owes an unpayable debt, and he begs his debtor to have mercy upon him so that he can have time to pay it off. And the debtor, the king, does not give him more time. Instead, the king forgives the debt altogether. But when the man himself is asked for mercy, he refuses to give it. He won't forgive a small debt, even though he was forgiven a much larger one. The forgiven man begged the king for mercy, but you see, he didn't really believe in mercy. Not from the heart. If he believed in mercy, he would have shown it when it was asked of him. He didn't really believe in mercy, but he pretended to believe in it when it suited him. He pretended that this cardinal virtue of the Christian life, mercy, was just an empty word. He found it useful to say when he was in a bind, because other people believed in it. He used it with the king because he hoped that the king believed this fiction, this mercy. But he didn't. There's a video clip someone uploaded to YouTube years back already. There was a conference panel of spiritual gurus, including, among others, an Anglican bishop, an evangelical pastor, and a New Age spiritualist author named Deepak Chopra. Deepak had explained that all belief is really just a mask or a way to cover up one's own insecurity and fear. So, if you believe in God or Jesus Christ or karma or any other spiritual truth, really you are just posturing, just faking. You don't really believe it because beliefs aren't real, you see. They're just useful therapy. They're just a defense mechanism to help you cope with some other reality you aren't courageous enough to face. Truly enlightened people, you see, are aware of this spiritual truth. And Deepak Chopra is there to enlighten us. Well, a man from the audience approaches the microphone to ask a question of the panel. My question is for Deepak and the bishop. You said that all belief is a cover-up for insecurity, right? Yes. Do you believe that? Yes. Thank you. And the man returns to his seat. And the crowd erupts in laughter and applause. You see, you can't really believe that all beliefs are only a cover for insecurity. You can say it, but you can't believe it. You can't believe that all beliefs are lies, because that itself is a belief. What it amounts to is that Deepak Chopra wants everyone else to believe that their beliefs are invalid, while believing his own beliefs are true. We have a word for that. It's called hypocrisy. Jesus called the Pharisees hypocrites, because they would pull an ox out of a well on the Sabbath, but they wouldn't let him heal the sick. They were hypocrites because they thought they were the only ones who could break the Sabbath laws. Deepak Chopra thought he was the only one who had a right to have beliefs. And evidently, the forgiven man in the parable thought he was the only one who should receive mercy. But that's not precisely the truth. Closer to the truth is to say that he didn't really believe in mercy, period. He only used the word when it suited him. Just like Deepak with belief, and just like the Pharisees with the Sabbath. And just like we often are, and must not be, with forgiveness, we confess, I believe in the forgiveness of sins. You can say that, as you do every Sunday in church, but here's the thing. You cannot really believe in the forgiveness of sins for yourself if you deny that forgiveness to others. When we say, I believe in the forgiveness of sins, we are believing in a real thing. Real forgiveness is out there. This thing is the reality that there's a force, the righteous wrath of God against sin. And it is a wrath that cannot, should not, and will not tolerate evil forever. And that evil has been found within you and within me and within every human being, every other son or daughter of Adam and Eve. But we believe that Jesus Christ took our evil, our sin upon himself, and paid for it by crucifying it. We believe that he did this not just for you or me, but for all people. Just as the Sabbath rest was for all people, forgiveness and mercy are for all people. The gospel is not parochial or private. The gospel says that one died for all, therefore all have died. And he died for all that those who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who, for their sake, died and was raised. You cannot really believe the gospel if you believe that forgiveness is only for you. Because there is no gospel except the one that is founded upon Christ. And that good news is for all people. Now, it may very well be that someone owes you a debt and doesn't ask for it to be forgiven. It may be that someone has wronged you, but they haven't come and asked for mercy. It may be that someone sins against you and doesn't repent. There's Canadian legislation being proposed now that certain social benefits should be applied to low-income people even if they don't file their taxes. The idea is that Canada Revenue already knows what you made before you file your taxes anyway. And many low-income people are denied benefits intended for them simply because they don't file their taxes. It amazed me when I found out some years ago that parents receive child care benefits, money from the government automatically without asking, simply after filing your taxes. Parents don't even have to ask. Well, this new legislation I'm talking about means that parents don't even have to prove their poverty, don't even have to acknowledge their need. What's the difference? Well, once upon a time, if you needed help, you had to say why you needed it, and you had to ask. And that required some humility. Now, in order to receive social benefits you didn't earn, not only don't you have to prove how you qualify for it, not only do you not have to say that you need it, you don't have to have the humility to ask for it. Now, I bring this up not to compare with God's forgiveness, but to contrast. The gospel of the modern welfare state seems to be that you have a right to social benefits even without having to ask for them or prove why you qualify for them. But it's clear in this parable and throughout the Bible that forgiveness was won for all and is available to all, but you do have to ask for it. You do have to be able to explain how it is you think you qualify for it. Having to ask is not a work. Asking is not how you earn the benefit. You have to be humble to ask, but if you are a dependent, you should be humble anyways. It simply acknowledges the reality of the relationship between benefactor and beneficiary. You don't deserve the benefit. You aren't entitled to it by nature. But you are given it, and you receive it by grace alone. And that is the same thing with the grace of God, given in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. Some believe that since Jesus died for all people, that all people should be admitted to the Lord's Supper simply because they're human. But in the parable, notice the king didn't seek out the man to tell him his debt was forgiven. The king sought out the man to have him sold with his wife and children and all he had, and payment to be made. So, if the king in the parable is figured to be God, God did not go out first to forgive the debts of those who don't ask. He went out to collect. It is when the man asked for mercy that the king forgave it, forgave his debt. But if he hadn't asked, if that hadn't happened, the king would have sold him. Jesus says, "Ask and ye shall receive." So, because we have no delusions about our own worthiness, we confess, we ask, we beg for mercy from God. Forgiveness is real, and it has been won by Christ for all, and is received by those who ask for it, which is to say, by those who have faith. Like a helpless, dependent baby who cries for his mother, so we helplessly cry for God. Therefore, knowing that you are a poor, miserable sinner, and utterly dependent upon the mercy that our God, in Christ, is eager to give, go in peace. Ask and ye shall receive. Your faith has received mercy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And now the peace of God, which passes understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.